What's up, everybody? My name is D-Wan. First, I want to thank my brothers for coming out. They really go above and beyond to take care of me and make sure I'm okay and that I get to where I need to go and back. And that really means a lot to me, and I just want to thank y'all for that. I also want to thank Marvin. I wasn't here last Monday, and he told me it was a big hole right where I sit, and he missed me. I'm not sure if he called me fat or what, but he gives me a lot of encouragement, so I thank him for that. The question was, how important is God in your life, and how much of an effort do you make to get there? And God is everything in my life. And I'm going to say that again. God is everything in my life. But the more I think about it, the more on a scale of 1 to 10, the effort I make to get to him, it has to fall to a zero. To a zero, because I look at the effort of some of the people in the Bible that inspires me and look at the kind of effort and the kind of boldness they had to get to God, even when people around them discouraged them. It just touched my heart. And I wonder if I would have that same boldness and make that same effort that they did, depending on the circumstances. Like Pam said, in my living room, I'm the baddest Christian out there. But when I get to the people, am I willing to share what God can do? Am I willing to speak the words of God and to preach the word of God to the people that need it? Or will I get shy, or will I get quiet in that moment? And I'm not sure. But I just want to give you guys a couple of examples of people who did everything that they could to get to God, who fought through obstacles and things of that nature to get to God, because they knew that they were in a desperate situation, and desperate times calls for desperate measures. And when you are desperate to get to God, it does not matter who's looking. It doesn't matter who's pointing. It doesn't matter who's listening, who's putting you on the phone, on Facebook, making memes out of you on Instagram. I don't care. When you're in a desperate situation to get to God, it's like, Lord, I need you, and I need you now.
Come on, bro.
These are the kinds of effort that these people that I'm going to give you an example of went through to get to God. No matter what, he was the most important thing, and they knew that God and only God could rectify their situation. The first one I want to give is a guy by the name of Blind Bartimaeus. His first name wasn't Blind, but he was blind.
Yeah.
So he was blind, and he sat by the roadside begging every day. Every day. So now, as Jesus is leaving the city of Jericho, Blind Bartimaeus is sitting at the roadside in his normal spot, and he's begging like he does every day. So now when he gets word that Jesus has passed, because Jesus has his 12 disciples and a crowd of people, we have to understand that Jesus was royalty. So no matter where he went, there was a crowd. The king is coming. So he was followed by many. A crowd gathered everywhere he went. So as Jesus is walking down the street, Bartimaeus gets the word that this is Jesus coming. He knew that this was his moment. This was his moment. And that's all life is. Life is just moment after moment after moment. Life is just a series of moments. And it's up to us whether we take advantage of those moments when the time presents itself. There are certain moments that we cannot afford to let us pass by, because there's no telling when and if those moments will come again. So he's sitting at the roadside begging, and he knows this is Jesus coming. And he knows that this is probably a once in a lifetime moment that Jesus will be walking down the road that he's on. So Blind Bartimaeus, when he realized that that was Jesus coming down the street, he said, "Jesus, Son of David, please have mercy on me." And the people told Blind Bartimaeus to shut up. You be quiet. You of all people, you don't have the cachet or the right to cry out to Jesus, to cry out to the Lord. Now, the reason they treated him like that was because back in those days, in the Bible days, if you were born with an affliction or a handicap or something wrong, you wasn't whole. You were either looked at as to be in sin or that your parents were in sin. And this is the consequences of that. That's why they treated him like that. They said, you're blind. You or your parents were in sin. This is the consequences of that sin. So shut up and let Jesus walk through. And when they told him that, Bartimaeus just kind of looked at him and said, okay. And the Bible says he cried out even the more, Jesus, Son of David, please have mercy on me. Now, we know that Jesus is the Son of God, not the Son of David. But see, David falls in that same lineage. Jesus's natural father or his earthly father was Joseph. Joseph falls in the lineage of Abraham, who is the patriarch of the 12 tribes. And Jesus comes from the tribe of Judah. Okay, that's a whole nother Bible study all together in lineage and genealogy. But when he called Jesus the Son of David, he was referencing Abraham, who is God. When God came to Abraham, when his name was Abram, he said, you will be the king over many nations, over many tribes. So when he said Son of David, he was really referencing Son of God. Okay, so now he cried out even the more. And Jesus stopped and stood still and summoned Bartimaeus to be called, said, call for him, tell him to come here. Now, just to take a quick commercial break, can you imagine just for a second what it would be like to have the Messiah, the King, the Deliverer, Jesus, stop on your behalf and call for you by name? Just imagine the honor in that. Jesus knows who I am. He knows my name. And when the disciples went, they told Bartimaeus, they said, rise, be in good comfort, for he has called for you. Wow. Bartimaeus dropped his garments, got up, and Jesus said, what can I do for you? Bartimaeus said, Lord, that I may have sight. And Jesus said, by your faith, you are healed. Go on about your way. And instantly, Bartimaeus had 20/20 because of his faith. And every miracle that Jesus did in the Bible, he always told to people, according to your faith, so shall it be. That's why faith is so important. Now, blind Bartimaeus understood the moment that his Savior, his healer, his deliverer, his provider was coming down the street right in front of him. And even though they tried to shut him up, he refused to be silent. He refused to be quiet. And that's what we have to do. Because when you're on the level that we're on, we're considered less than. You know what I'm saying? People look at us and say, oh, you gone through this or you going through that. You know, you kind of go over here to this section. He wouldn't be quiet. He wouldn't be silent because that moment was so important to him. The moment that Jesus was right there, he could not afford to miss that boat. And sometimes because of our flesh, we have something tugging on us on the inside. We have something saying, life is bigger than this. Or when we're in church and they do an altar call, we want to come up, but I don't want to be the first one up. I don't want people to see me like this. I don't want to be embarrassed. That is our flesh trying to block our blessing. That is our flesh trying to block our salvation. But we have to understand the moment. And I don't know about you, but there's so many moments in life that I just wish I can have back, but I can't. All we have is now. Yesterday is dead and gone. Tomorrow is not promised. All we have is now. And in this now, in this moment, I am like Bartimaeus. I cannot afford to let Jesus, to let the Holy Spirit go past me and I not call out. I can't afford to miss that train.
Come on.
And Jesus said, by your faith, you're made whole. Now, there was another, this commercial break, there was another blind man in the Bible that some of y'all might know the story, that Jesus, he found out the guy was blind. I don't know his name. I don't know if any of y'all ever been like to Mississippi or nothing like that, but they have this stuff called red clay, like Mississippi red clay. And it's basically dirt with a shade of red to a kind of like a rust color tint. And what Jesus did was Jesus spit in the mud and made like in the clay. And made, rubbed it around with his fingers, made like a muddy paste, and then rubbed it on the guy's eyes. Told him to open his eyes, and the guy had 20/20. Now, that's two things. Number one, it's utterly disgusting. But number two, it just confirms that when the Bible says that his ways are not our ways, his thoughts are not our thoughts. Sometimes Jesus was doing things just to get your attention, just to get the people's attention. Because can you imagine if you was like, look, man, I was there. I seen it. He spit into the mud, gave the dude's eyesight back. And the guy you're talking to, wait a minute, let me get this straight. So he spit into some dirt, made mud, rubbed it on his face, and he could see again. Those things tend to stay with us. And there's two testimonies that came out of this place. And one was from Lyle. And for those of y'all who don't know Lyle, Lyle's about 6'2", 6'3", big guy. And he was walking down DeWalt Street in May carrying a snowblower crying. Because he had stolen that snowblower. And in the midst of him stealing that snowblower, God was dealing with him. God stirred up something in his spirit. So he took the snowblower back, face full of tears, a snowblower in May. Now, I'm pretty sure that somebody saw that. And they're like, okay, let me assess this. We got this big dude dragging a snowblower, crying back to the house he stole it from, to some people who don't even speak English and don't even know what he's talking about. Those things stay with us, and down the line, something may occur in our lives that bring that visual back to let us know that it was God. Now, it may not happen tomorrow or next week or next month, but things don't just happen for a reason. God makes things happen, and he allows us to see these things because those are the things that he is using to communicate with us. And it makes me laugh thinking about that, because I would have been cracking up, not in making fun of him, but because I have a small understanding on how God works. And when you see God dealing with somebody, it's a beautiful thing to see if you understand it, because you try to open up your mind and open up your spirit to show people the goodness of God and how God can work, but that's impossible. So when you try to explain it to them, you're not sure if they're getting it. So when you see God dealing with them and moving in them, it's a beautiful thing, because it's like, thank you, God. I understand that they're getting it now. Now they're getting that same joy, that same peace that I have, that I've been trying to relay. And another example is with Pam running around through the church. I wasn't there to see it, but I heard the testimony screaming, we're rich, because we got gold coming up to our armpits. To the carnal eye, it's like, this lady is crazy. Where is she seeing gold? What gold is she talking about? Why is she screaming, we're rich? But she understood at that moment, God was dealing with her. And it's not about money, it's not about things, but it's about when that spirit moves in you and God is letting you know that he is in control, and God is letting you know that you are my child and everything is going to be all right. That's where that joy and that jubilee and celebration comes in. Now, to the normal person, it might look a little bit crazy, it might look a little bit funny, but when you know what you're seeing is God, it makes you feel good, because it's like, yes, Lord, another one. Now, another example would be in the Bible, it's a guy who was sick of the palsy. He couldn't walk, he couldn't talk, he had palsy. Now there's five different type of palsies. He had one of them. The Bible really didn't go into which one he had. But it says he was born of, he's the youngest of four. So his brothers picked up his bed because they, now Jesus is leaving Jericho and now we're in Capernaum. And Jesus is going to be speaking in Capernaum. And you have to understand, when people found out where Jesus was going to be, they came from states around, not miles around, but states, walking by donkey and carriage, because they had to be. That's why the Holy Spirit is so important, because if we're here and Jesus is in Wayndale, we missed it. But because he's now in the form of the Holy Spirit, when he died physically, he looked to the sky and said, Lord, it is finished. And he told his disciples, I will not leave you comforter, but I'll send you comfort in the form of a Holy Ghost. Now he's a spirit, still physical, but still a spirit. And spiritually, he's omnipresent, which means he's everywhere at once. So no matter where we are, we get that feel of God. But back then, Jesus was here physically. So you had to be where he was. So when it was noise that he was going to be in Capernaum, when I say noise, when everybody found out he was going to be in the house speaking, they came from everywhere, which is why they brought their brother from his sick bed to the house where Jesus was speaking at. But it was so many people there, so many people, they couldn't even get to the front door. And as Jesus is up at the podium preaching, and he's preaching, all of a sudden, right above where he stood, stuff starts falling in and pieces of brick start disappearing and you can see the sky. These people were so desperate to get to God, so desperate to get to God, that they tore down the house of the Lord to get to the Lord. Let me say that again. They tore down the house of God to get to God. Now, that type of dogmaticness, that type of effort, that type of desperation, that no matter what is in front of me, I will not stop until I get to the Lord.
Come on.
Jesus loves that. God loves that. He loves that effort, that no matter if you're sick, if you're lame, if you're tired, whatever you are not going to let that stop you in drawing nigh to God. Nothing else matters when it comes to you or me drawing nigh to the Lord. And when I say drawing nigh, I mean drawing close to God, getting to God, getting into that covering, getting into the Spirit. Because the Lord says in his word that you must become doers of the word. But before we can become doers, we have to become hearers. We have to get to God, sit still in the presence of the Lord long enough to hear what thus saith the Lord. Then we can try to do what the Lord says do. So I can only imagine if Pastor Martin is up here one Sunday preaching, and here I come along and start blowing holes in the side of the church. He might then be like, bruh, can you just use the door like everybody else? But it was so packed that they ripped a hole in the roof over where Jesus was speaking. And then dropped him. I don't want to say dropped him. I'm pretty sure they lowered him gently down right at the altar, right at the foot of the throne, right at the foot of the Savior, the healer, the provider, the protector of our Savior. And I know Jesus knew they was up there. I know he knew they was coming. But he said, let them come. Tear it up if you got to. If this is what you got to do to get to me, tear it up. And Jesus told that man while he was in the sick bed, born of the palsy, born sick of the palsy, he said, my son, your sins are forgiven. Not saying because he was in sin is why he had, was born sick of the palsy. But you got to understand, anything that is sin is not of God. So when he said that your sins are forgiven, what he basically said was anything that is not like me is coming out of you, which included the palsy. And that man got up. He said, now take up your bed and go. That man took up his bed and walked out. When I think of those examples of what those people did and had to go through to get to Jesus, when I think of those examples of how dogmatic and how strong in their faith they was to get to Jesus and to not let those things stop them, then I look at myself. Have I ever gone through anything like that? Absolutely not. Am I that spirited, that bold, that courageous, that strong in my faith that I'm going to get to Jesus no matter what it takes? I don't think so. This is why church and the Bible is so important, because it gives us perspective on ourselves. It holds that mirror up and makes me look at myself and be honest with myself. Now, let me tell it, I'm a 10 at everything. I'm a 10 at stuff I ain't never even done before. Let me tell it. But the truth is, for all the things that I do to get to God, the truth is, for all of the reading scriptures and trying to apply the scriptures and all of these things, the truth is, I could be doing so much more. So much more. I can be reaching so many more people, or at least putting forth the effort to reach so many people. And it starts at home. Am I trying to reach my kids? Am I trying to reach my cousins, my uncles, my mother, my father? That's where it starts. How can I step over my household and try to help somebody else? I haven't even met to help the people that's closest to me. That's why I say my efforts are zero. And because of humility, I have to keep it there, because I don't want to get so high and mighty on my soapbox thinking that I'm just doing all of this and that, when there's so much more to be done. So much more. And that's why I appreciate so much people like Lyle, people like Marvin, people like Pam, who go to the place where the people really need them, who go to prison, who reach out to the people who are outcast, who are shunned, who are shut in. These are the things that I don't do, that I could be doing, that I should be doing. That's why I say my efforts are zero. But now I understand it's not about what I did yesterday or last month or last year. Well, I helped feed the homeless that one time in 86. Who cares? That was dead and gone. That was yesterday. What am I doing today? What am I doing right now? Because life is all about right now. Life is all about the moment, and this is the moment. This moment. And when I leave here, that'll be the moment. Later on tonight, that'll be the moment. Tomorrow morning, that'll be the moment. It's all about moments. And had they let that moment go by and not tore a hole in the roof and said, well, it's too packed, I guess we can't get in, we might as well go home, they would have missed it. What I'm encouraging each and every one of you tonight is to not miss that moment. Don't miss your moment. Your moment. Because God has a plan for each and every one of us. And yes, there are going to be obstacles in our way. That's why the Bible says, beloved, think it not strange the fiery trials that beset you. The more you go through, all of that is God letting you know that you are one of mine. All of that is God pruning you and purging you and preparing you and training you. Once you get through your testament, once you get through your test, you then have a testimony. It's like training for a fight or for a basketball game or for, you have to go through these training processes. That's all God is doing with us. You're not at the bottom of the barrel in life. I'm here to tell you that no matter where you are, this is not it. When God pulls you out of your situation, when God pulls me out of my situation, now I'm pruned, I'm purged, I was that ugly rock. Now you're a nice shiny piece of gold, and you can go and be a light, be a beacon of light to the rest of the world. And when everybody is looking at you, you then step aside and say, this is God. This is all God. Praises to God. Where you are is not where you're destined to be. I'm going to say that again. Where you are is not where you're destined to be. Where you are is not where you have to be. It's not about yesterday. It's not about where you're from. It's about today. Now, you may not be at the pinnacle today, but thank you, Jesus, I'm not where I was yesterday. I might not be the person I want to be today, but Lord, thank you that I'm not who I was yesterday. It's not about where you are. It's where you're going. Amen. So I just want to encourage everybody to please, please do not let these moments pass you by. Because to me, every day is not another day. It's an opportunity. It's an opportunity that had I not gotten it right with God before, that had I not gotten it right with God yesterday, yesterday is dead and gone, tomorrow's not promised. I have this day, this opportunity to get it right with God now. So please, just don't let your moment pass you by.